NASA's mission to touch the sun launches on August 11th. To talk about that is NASA's planetary scientist, Dr. Geronimo Villanueva. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Now, thank you for having me.
And happy anniversary. NASA is celebrating 60 years this year, so a lot of excitement going on in your organization for sure.
Yeah, this is very exciting times at NASA. No better way than to celebrate this than going to the sun.
You're going to go at night, as the joke is, right? So explain what's going to happen here, and how do you get close to the sun without having disaster?
Yeah, well, so as we were saying, yeah, we're actually going to touch the sun. This is unprecedented. So we're going to go very, very close to the sun. We are going to be at 4 million miles. And what does it mean? It's like, you know, if the distance from Earth to the sun is 100 yards or a football field, we're going to be at the four-yard line. So it's very close to the sun. And it's going to be very hot. We're going to be touching the particles of the sun. And how we do to withstand all this is we're going to have a very complicated cooling system. We actually have water coolant up there. And we also have a heat shield. It's a 4.5 inches thick that allows to have one side at 2,500 Fahrenheit, and the other side is going to be a room temperature.
What do you hope to get out of this? What will the scientific information that we receive be used for?
Well, I mean, the sun is, you know, as you see, is our main source of energy, and it impacts heavily all the time our planet. Actually, one of the most things we see is, for example, if you go to the polar areas, we see the aurora. And that is actually impacting a lot of our communication systems. You know, when we have a big, sun has a big storm, we may get a loose power grid, so communications. And the more we learn about the sun and how dynamic it is, how that energy goes from the sun to us, the more we can learn about our own planet. So we actually want to go is actually touch these particles as they come out of the sun, measure the temperature, see how they accelerate, and then we can allow us to better predict how they impact our planet.
Working in radio, I've soon learned at one point that the sun is just like a giant radio tower emitting the radio waves, because there's twice a year where it sort of interferes a little bit with the satellites, because so it's always interesting to do that. We think of the sun morally really just for heat, but there's other things that is happening on that surface and coming from the sun, right?
That is correct. So heat is one of the elements, but it's another one is, as you were saying, the all these magnetic interactions that have with our own magnetic field. And this can be very dramatic. I mean, sometimes, you know, in some cases we lost, as we were saying, the power grids, or we even lost satellites, and the radiation can be very, very strong. And actually, we don't know very well how that, you know, we have a lot of uncertainties how that actually happens, how that energy goes from the sun to us. So the more we learn about the sun, we also learn a lot about our own planet.
Now, are you going to be getting back what kind of data? Is there going to be any visual, or is it all going to be audio, or some other kind of meters that are being read for that time?
So, I mean, this is a not only fantastic, marvelous machine because it will be, you know, super complicated just to get into the sun, but also has a lot of instruments that can do a lot of measurements. So we're going to take images of the sun to know, have a context, but the key thing is always we're going to be actually touching those particles on the sun. We're going to be entering the sun, and we're going to be actually probing those particles in situ. But also we also have, like, things to analyze the composition, velocities, temperatures, and also get images.
Now, this will be launched on August 11th. What's the process to get it there, and how long will that take?
So this is going to be we launch, as you're saying, on August 11th next Saturday, and then we start going to the sun. We're going to pass by Venus first and then go all the way to the sun. And then we're going to have this very close flyby to the sun in November, and then we're going to be orbiting, you know, doing that those frequent encounters with the sun. And it's going to be the fastest man-made object ever made. So it's going to be like a very, very fast object.
Are there preconceived ideas, or what do you, as scientists, you kind of leave it open to see what the data will tell you, but what are things that you may think you'll find there, or what are you open to see there?
Well, I mean, one of the big uncertainties we have is that, you know, the sun is, as you know, is hot, and it's pretty hot. We can see it from our own eyes. But also there's another part of the sun we call the corona. It's like the atmosphere of the sun, and that is a million degrees Kelvin, much hotter than at the interior of the sun. And that, you know, relationship, because the corona is the one actually making the solar wind that comes to our planet, that relationship between the hot temperatures of the sun to these million temperatures is very unknown. We don't know where very well how that connection happens, how that heating happens, how those particles are getting accelerated. And those are the ones touching our own planet, affecting us, the things we were talking about before. So the more we learn about that interaction by going actually and touching those particles, the more we can learn about this connection between the sun and the corona.
Now, where can people find out more? Or can they watch this progress? What kind of things do you have available for the public to sort of view or understand or be a part of this big touch the sun activity?
Well, the good thing, we're going to have a lot of information. We're actually going to be following up all the mission as it goes. And it's going to be, for the next 10 years, this up to December is going to be the more active times. So you can go to nasa.gov/Parker, the name of the mission. Or you can follow us in social media at NASA Sun, where we have a lot of information, a lot of nice graphics explaining the whole thing, and also a lot of technical documents so people can learn more about it.
What has been your input into this project?
Well, one of the things that are interesting for me is how planets evolve. I'm a planetary scientist, so the fact that we can learn more about the sun is going to help me a lot to understand more how we planets, evolve with time, how they lose their water, how they lose their atmospheres, because learning about our own star allows us to learn also about our other planets in our solar system and beyond.
So we're going to see the launch on August 11th. When did the idea and the concept for this particular mission begin?
Well, I mean, the mission took a long time. I would say at least 20, 30 years. But the interesting thing, the concept of this solar wind, which is the connection between what comes out of the sun and hits the Earth, was proposed in 1950s by this person called Eugene Parker. And it was very controversial, actually. It was, demoted. We thought it was completely wrong, and now has proven to be right. And that's why this is the first time we name a mission into someone who is alive, which is Eugene Parker. So definitely, it took a long time to this idea to mature, but then to develop a mission took us a couple of decades.
Is he going to be there for the launch, or what's his participation?
I'm going to be participating here from Goddard. So we're going to be following the launch from here from Goddard.
Sounds great. Again, it comes up on August 11th. The big launch for this Parker Solar Probe, their Touch the Sun launch, again, gets underway August. But you said November is when we should be seeing some of the results, or at least when we're getting as close as we need to be, right?
That is correct. So we call it perihelion, the closest distance to the sun, the first one, is going to happen in November 1st. Actually, we think we're going to start taking data and, getting some first results in December. So December is going to be our the main thing. And I have to say, we don't really know what to expect. We have some ideas, of course. We're going to test them. But it's going to be incredibly unique data. And we are very excited about it.
So that's good. Well, you got the thing happening on Mars and that water thought about underwater there. So no matter where we get, there's always something new. And just keep your mind open to see what happens out there in space. We appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Villanueva. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me in the show.